Please, this morning, go with me to the book of Revelation and chapter 21. The book of Revelation this morning and chapter 21. I'm speaking this morning on the three books in heaven. The three books in heaven. There's three books in heaven, and they are of vital importance to all of us. And so I want to preach on that thought today. Three books in heaven. Let's begin Revelation chapter 21. Now, this is John the Apostle. He's exiled on the island of Patmos, and God is telling him what's going to happen in the future. It's what we call prophecy. And so God's going to tell him what's happening. And so he escorts him into heaven. And there in heaven is the context of the passage. He tells him all the beautiful things, different trees that are there, and that there's no night there, but the Lamb of God is the light thereof. And but he tells us about these books in heaven, and I want you to see it this morning. In verse number 22 of Revelation chapter 21, let's begin there. And this is John speaking through inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says, I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Notice the Lord God is there and the Lamb. We'll look at who that is in just a moment. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring glory and honor to the nation of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for the privilege to open the Bible and to preach it. And God, we pray that you'll bless the hearer now as we hear your word, that Lord, thy word would reach into our heart and our mind. God, maybe we'd be changed from what we hear today. May we not go home the same. But God, may thy truth lodge in our mind and in our heart today. And I pray especially for that one who's lost and does not know their need of Christ. And Lord, I pray today that thy word would reveal it. I pray to those listening on the internet this morning that God, they would hear the truths of the scripture and make a decision to serve the Lord and please the Lord wherever they are this morning. So bless us, we pray, in this morning in thy house, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you this morning, if you would, to help me by following along in several verses that we're going to look at this morning in Scripture by way of introduction this morning. And so if you would be as gracious enough to follow, we're going to connect some dots this morning in Scripture in regards to these three books that are in heaven. Now, before we do that, notice first of all, in verse 27, a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I'm going to show you that there's three books in heaven and the significance of them. And I want to begin, first of all, follow me, please, if you would, and allow me some time, if you would, this morning in your mind to set the introduction, because every good house has a foundation. And so I ask your grace as we look at these verses. Go please with me to Psalm 119 and verse 89. Psalm 119, the longest chapter of the Bible is Psalm 119. And notice please verse number 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. Now this verse declares, and amongst other verses, the first book that is in heaven. Notice verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled where? In heaven. God's saying that God's word is forever settled in heaven. We have it on earth. Thank God we have it on earth. But it's not only on earth. God's word is in heaven. It's a book that's in heaven. Amen? This is the first book that is in heaven. God didn't just give us his word for this earth. God's word is eternal. It's everlasting. It's infallible. It never changes. It never ends. Men try to change it. Men twist its meanings. Corrupted men ruin its intent. But God's word will pass through all generations and be forever settled in heaven. Thank God. Now, there's a second book that I want you to notice. Go back to Revelation chapter 20 with me. And I want to show you the second book that the Bible says is in heaven. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 12. And I want to hit this point very well and show you some verses on it. Notice what it says, Revelation 20 verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books, did you see that? Plural. The books were open. And another book was open. So you got at least two books there. And another book, that's three. Which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works. Now the Bible declares verse 12 here. There's a second book and it names it specifically. It's the book of life. So we have the Bible is in heaven and the book of life is in heaven. Now what is the book of life? The book of life is the recorded history of everyone who God ever created. Amen. If you're alive here today, how many of you are alive today? God bless you. I hate dead churches. Amen. Thank the Lord. You're alive today. Your name is written in the book of life in heaven. You're not an oops. You're not an oops. And by the way, if it's the book of life, then it was written there at conception, not when you were born. Amen. It's the book of life. Amen. So we see this book of life. Now I want to show you another verse. Revelation 13. Go there. Revelation 13. And notice verse 8. Revelation 13, verse 8. By the way, I like you to look at Scripture because I want you to know it's not an opinion. I want you to know it's God that said it. Verse 8, Revelation 13, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Again, the Bible talks about this book of life. And notice, it is written from the foundation of the world. Your name, my name, was written in a book before the foundation of the earth. You know what that tells me? God had you and me in mind when he created the earth. Amen. He didn't just create the earth so he could see some birds fly around. Yep. He created this earth for man to dwell in and to please him and to serve him. That's why he did it. So we have a book of life. Your name is written in the book of life. All right, now go again if you would please. Let's look at the third verse. Go to the third book, Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And again, we're going to go to verse 27 in our text this morning. Notice Revelation 21, verse 27. There shall in no wise enter into it, that's heaven, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So we have the Bible in heaven. We have the book of life in heaven. And we have, thirdly, the Lamb's book of life in heaven. Now, who is the Lamb? Who owns this book? Revelation 17 and verse 14. Some of you are getting ahead of me. Revelation 17 and verse 14 tells us who the Lamb is. Notice he's talking about heaven here. He says, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." Can I tell you who that is? That's Jesus, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He is the Lamb. It's his book. The Lamb's book of life. Now, I want you to notice something interesting about this. Go back to chapter 21 and verse 27. Your name is written in the book of life. But I want you to know that not every name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Not every name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And let's see some of the qualifications for this. Verse 27. Are you still with me? Notice verse 27, "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the book of life." Now notice, there's no abominable thing in heaven. No abomination is written in heaven. And it says they, it's talking about people. They which are written in heaven. And did you know it talks about liars? It talks about liars. Did you know that there, if you lie, you can't go to heaven? Or you can't have your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Did you know that? You say, "Preacher, sometimes I'll say things like this just to make sure I get your attention." Look at verse 8 of Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 8. "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all," what? Liars "shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, wait a minute, preacher. All I have to do is tell a lie and I'm going to miss heaven? Now, I'm not going to look. I'm going to close my eyes. And I'm going to ask you, how many of you have lied before? You ready? How many of you have lied before? All right, put your hand down. I can tell you it was a unanimous vote, right? We've all lied. Now, wait a minute. You're in the book of life, but not everybody's in the Lamb's book of life. And all it takes to eliminate or to not have your name in the book of life is a lie. That sounds pretty serious to me. Now, the point of what God is saying is that sin is greater in God's eyes than it is in ours. Sin is more defiling in God's eyes than it is our eyes. You know, man, we can do sin. We can do these little, we call them little white lies, right? The okay lies. The lie I lied to get myself out of trouble, right? Didn't get any amens on that one right there. Okay, but God is saying that sin is so egregious to God that to God, even a lie can eliminate a person from going to heaven. That's what the word says. Did I say that? That's what it said right there. Now, wait a minute, preacher. What is this talking about? I want to explain what God's saying here. Go with me, please, to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. Revelation 3, verse 5. I appreciate your graciousness in turning to all these passages, but it's good for us. Revelation 3, look at verse 5. Notice it says, "He that overcometh..." That's talking about the saved. "The same shall be clothed in white raiment, And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now notice, him that overcometh is talking about the saved. And I'll talk about what it means to be overcomer here in this passage. But he says, there are some that if you overcome, you're saved. God will not blot your name out of the book of life. Now, it's not talking about the Lamb's book of life. It's talking about the book of life. Now, what does that mean? See, here's what happens. When a man dies without Christ, God blots his name out of the book of life, and he remembers him no more. He remembers them no more. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God purposely chooses that some who reject him in this life, he blots their name out of life, and he says on judgment day, depart from me, I never knew you. Now that's serious, isn't it? That should weigh on us. And it should weigh especially on you today who do not know Christ as your Savior. Because if you sin, maybe just a lie, that's enough to have your name blotted out of the book of life and God cast you into eternal hell forever and ever and remembers your name no more. That's what the Word of God says. That's the truth. Now I'm going to show you some more scripture so you understand what I'm saying. Go to Revelation 20, back to Revelation 20 and verse 15. Revelation 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, not the Lamb's book of life, whosoever was not found written in the book of life, what happened to them? Cast into the lake of fire. Cast into the lake of fire. And this is what God is saying. He's saying when you reject Christ, or you're not saved, God someday will look at you and he will blot your name out of the book of life. It's as if you never lived or you never existed. He casts you into the lake of fire forever, and you have left the mind in the memory of God. God remembers you no more. Now that's serious business, isn't it? You know, a lot of people play around in this life. They don't take God seriously. They don't take his word seriously. And what a shock there's going to be to them on that day when they stand before an almighty God. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. He who formed you and wrote your name in the book of life before the foundation of the world will blot your name out on that day. That's serious business. Can I tell you, a lot of people live this life as if there's really no serious business in life. But notice verses 11 through 15, what God says will happen in verse 11 of chapter 20. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Everybody's going to stand before God one day. Everybody. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. All three books are found here in this verse. Here's why the Bible is found in this verse, because the Bible is what's going to judge us on that day. God said that his word will be our judge. That's why he's given it to us in this life, so that we're prepared and ready when we meet him on judgment day. Are you prepared and ready to meet God? If today were the last day of your life, one day, three books are going to be open. And you're going to be standing, all the dead, small and great, are going to stand before God. And those books are open, and don't think you'll escape. He's got your name written before the foundation of the earth. He's going to open that book. He's going to say, yes, there's your name. I created you. This is your mother. This is your father. I created you. And he's going to judge us from the word of God. Are you saved according to the word of God? You know, I find a lot of people like this fanciful idea of God. They pick this warm, snuggly teddy bear God, this God that I like, the God that gives me what I want, the God that makes me feel good. I want that kind of God. And we conjure up these gods, these ideas in our mind that don't necessarily meet Scripture. But we do this, we conjure these things up in our mind. And what's going to happen someday when they stand on this great white throne judgment? God's going to open his word. And he's going to judge them according to his word. And if they are found without the blood of the Lamb, they are going to be cast into outer darkness forever and ever. That's what the Bible says. So here's the question. How does somebody get their name written in the Lamb's book of life? I don't want to be written just in the book of life. I want my name to be written in the Lamb's book of life. I want my sins to be covered and written down by the Lamb himself in the Lamb's book of life. How does that happen? Notice, please, if you would, Revelation chapter 12. Go there. Revelation chapter number 12. Look at verse number 10. Revelation 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. That's Satan. Which accused them before our God day and night. But notice verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. The blood of the Lamb is what paid for you and I. The blood of the Lamb, when it cleanses a man's sins, that is exactly what is needed to get your name written in the Lamb's book of life. That's what it's going to take. Now, if you forget Jesus or you skip away from God and don't learn anything about how to be saved, then you're in danger of that one in verse 20. Chapter 20, standing before God, the dead, small and great. Everyone's going to be there. What will happen to you on that day? When you stand before God, is the blood of the Lamb going to be there? Because that's the overcoming power. The blood of the Lamb. Is the blood of the Lamb there? God says there's two things necessary to be saved that every person needs to know. The first thing is called repentance. Repentance. Go to Luke chapter 13 with me, and I want you to see what God says will save a person. It's repentance. What is repentance? Look at the book of Luke. I appreciate you taking time to go through these scriptures and look on them with me. Luke 13 and verse 3. Notice Jesus says here, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's the lake of fire that he's talking about in Revelation 21, verse 12. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that ye were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent. You shall all likewise perish. Now, you know what he's saying? He's saying to this crowd, he said, you think that some people are bigger sinners than you and that they're the ones that are going to spend eternity away from God. You know, we think that those other sinners, those other evil people. Jesus looked at him and he said, don't think that, because everybody has to repent. See, you and I were born in sin. Sin is a direct offense of God. It is an offense. It is wiping mud in the face of an almighty God. That's what sin is. Sin is uglier than we realize in the sight of God. And that's why it took the Lamb coming to this earth and living 33 and a half years on this life so that you will repent. And you know what repentance is? It's really genuinely feeling sorry that you're a wicked sinner. It's feeling sorry that you have sinned and done against God. That lie was a direct offense against Almighty God. When we lie or when we tell something, or and it doesn't matter. Sins can get greater in degree in our mind, but all sin in God's mind is defiling. Yes. And it's what prevents you and I from having our name written in the Lamb's book of life. And we'll also have our name blotted out of the book of life. You realize you're a sinner, a wicked sinner? That your sin has defiled you in front of an almighty God? Most people don't think it that way. But listen, unless a person realizes the gravity of their sin, they'll never want to call upon God. They never. We take sin flippantly today. We do this, we do that, and the other. We think nobody notices, nobody hears. Let me tell you something. There's an almighty God who demands our repentance of sin. He doesn't want sin in our life. And he tells us the gravity of it, and we have to feel the gravity of it. Hey, we're all wicked sinners that have offended, hurt our almighty God. We are guilty before God. We're guilty before God. You know, if you committed an awful crime, you know, I've heard people say, you know, when I get to heaven someday, I'm not going to worry about life. I'll worry about it when I get to heaven, and God will judge me on that day. Yeah, he will. And the Bible already tells us what he'll tell you. He's already told us. He'll say, depart from me. Those whose names were not written in the Lamb's book of life, they were cast out. You say, now, preacher, I came to hear something good this morning. I'm fixing to tell you something real good. Because repentance is the first part of salvation. Unless a person is truly sorry and feeling guilty for sin, we'll never desire to call upon God. We'll think our sin is flippant and insignificant when I'm telling you an almighty God died for every little lie we've told. That's the gravity of it. You know, I think some people are flippant and all they don't really want to repent. They don't really want to feel bad about sin. And, you know, like the guy who says, when I get to heaven, I'll find out. God will judge me on that day. You know, that's like the drunk guy who falls over the ship in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. He's down there in the water, and he sees the ship slowly leaving him. He has no life jacket on. And he says, here I'm floating in the water. He says, I'm just going to kick back and have a good time. I'm just going to enjoy my life. I'm out here on the water. Woo! Having a good time. You think he'd do that? No. He'd be screaming and hollering because he knew he was in danger. And I don't think enough people in this world today realize what danger they're really in. We go about our day-to-day things, sinning here, sinning there, not thinking a thing about it. Like the man floating in the water, having a good time when that ship, he has no idea what danger he's in. I want to tell you something. The sinner is in danger of being cast into the lake of fire. And how long does the lake of fire last according to the Bible? It lasts forever. Forever. It never ends. There's no relief. There's no vending machine where you can get a cold drink. That's not in hell. And those who've been in hell forever and ever have been in hell, they're still in hell. That rich man in Luke chapter 16 who died, and the Bible says he went to hell. Can I tell you what? He's still there. He hasn't gotten out. It hasn't gotten any cooler. It hadn't gotten any soft. You know, I want to tell you something. People do not realize they are in danger. They're in danger. You say, preacher, that's not very nice news today. I walked into church hoping to hear something good. Can I tell you the good? Here's the good. If you go to God and you'll feel that weight of sin as a guilty sinner, you go to God and you say, God, I'm guilty before you. And I am so sorry that I offended an almighty God. And I am so sorry that I'm a sinner, a wicked sinner. God, would you please forgive me of my sin? That's when it starts getting good.
Amen.
Amen. That's when it starts getting to where the Lamb lifts up and says, that's exactly why I died on that old rugged cross. That's exactly why I paid for your sins, so that one day you come to them and realize how defiling they are in my eyes and ask for my forgiveness. And I want to tell you something. There's a God who is mighty and quick and ready to forgive.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If we'll repent of those sins and genuinely understand how wicked we are, there's a God who can truly come into our heart and save us. And that's the second part of salvation. The second part of salvation is not just repentance, but it's putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what salvation is. It's saying, I have gone my way. And by the way, repentance is also turning around. If someone truly repents, they're not going to want to get back in that mess they've been in. That's what repentance is. A lot of people make some decision for Christ and they go right back into the mess that they were in before. That's not repentance. Repentance is a change. It's a turn. It's a change of mind. It's you realize I've got to go God's direction now because he saved me. I don't want that. And it only comes through us really feeling and understanding the gravity of our own sin and how wicked truly we are in the sight of God. Well, that makes the love of God all the mightier, doesn't it?
Amen.
That makes the love of God so much more immense to know how he looks at us and sees us. And yet he said, I'm going to go to that cross and pay for their sin. I'm going to go and I'm going to, the Lamb, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And as he hung on that cross and shed his blood, that precious blood that was shed for you and I, if we will accept it by faith, it'll wash every sin that we've ever done. Every one of them. And you know what God does with sin that's covered? He covers it in his blood. He buries it in the deepest sea. He remembers it no more. I'd rather have God not remember my sins than to have God not remember my name. Oh, hear me today. I beg you, I plead with you today. Don't stand before an almighty God in judgment and say, depart from me. I never knew you. Because it will happen to millions upon millions of people over history and over time who did nothing about their sin, who just took it flippantly, didn't worry about it. Didn't think they were in danger of any kind. But oh, I want to tell you, God told us to put our faith and trust in him and repent of our sin. Listen, dear friend, there's a God who loves you. There's a God who, if you put your trust and your faith in him, He will come into your life, into your heart. He will save you and wash you of every sin you've ever done. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
I like sermons that start out bad but end up good.
Amen.
Amen. That is the promise of an almighty God. And it just blows our mind that he would love us in such a defiled condition. But that's God. That is God. That is the Son of God. That is why John 3:16 is so important. God so loved the world. He so loved us. But you know, God's given you a choice. You can reject him if you want. You can leave church this morning and say, some other time.
Yeah.
Maybe another day. You know, the problem with that thinking is there may never be another day. Years ago, I pastored in Kilgore, Texas, and before I took the church as a pastor, they told me a story about a man who came to church that day, and he visited a church. He's on his motorcycle. He got on his motorcycle after church. He pulled out, and a car hit him. And then he said the church people were all out in the parking lot. Church was dismissed. It was over. And a car came and hit that guy, pulled out right in front of a car, and he killed him. His body lay on the street right there after the church service that morning. I sure hope he got saved before he got on that motorcycle. I sure hope he got saved. Oh, listen, can I tell you what? You may leave church this morning. You may leave church. And you know, there's some churches that don't give you an opportunity to trust Christ when it's prevalent in your mind. There's churches like that. But I don't want to be like that.
Amen.
I want you to know the grace of God, and I want to give you an opportunity to choose him for yourself. That's why we have an invitation after the service. The invitation is for you to say yes to God. It's for you to say, I don't want my name blotted out of the book of life. I don't want to hear those words, depart from me. I never knew you, because some will. And it won't matter if you're a church member. It won't matter if you're a good person. I hope you are those things, but that won't matter on that day. There's only one thing that's going to matter. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you truly and genuinely repented of your sin, recognizing you and I are defiled sinners in the eyes of God? And have you put your faith and your trust in him to save you? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Amen.
I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Is your faith in him this morning? I want to say to you this morning that if you're afraid, fear is your friend.
Amen.
If you're afraid, fear is your friend, because it is the thing that keeps you from the danger. And if you're here today this morning and the invitation is given this morning, I'm sure glad a preacher gave an invitation when I was a 13-year-old boy. I'm glad there was an invitation, because I stepped out that day. I don't think I would have at any other time. It was fresh in my mind. It was prevalent in my mind. And I wanted to make that decision before it was too late. Now I thank God. Oh, I thank God today that I stepped out that day and I trusted him as my Savior. And dear friend, if you're here today, you can do the same thing today. And we want to give you an opportunity. You say it's a scary thing. It's not as scary as those words, depart from me, I never knew you.
Amen.
It's not as scary as feeling a lake of fire. That's a whole lot more fearful. And if you're here today, or even if you're listening online, can I tell you today, make today the day of your salvation. Don't put it off. Don't get in your car and go home. You do not know what will happen. You never know. When I was a boy in church, we had a a Gideon come to church on a Sunday morning, and he was talking about the Gideon Bibles, and he was explaining to us how the Gideon Bibles worked. We came back to church on Sunday night, and the pastor stood up and told us a very sobering method. He said, "Pastor," he said, "Church, I hate to tell you this, but the man got on an airplane this afternoon to fly back home. The man who was in the pulpit in the morning, that plane crashed this afternoon. That man died." And on the front page of the newspaper, they showed a picture of Bibles that were half burnt from that plane accident. Friend, don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't say another time. Don't say a better day. Trust the Lord today. Repent of sin. Put your faith in Him, and He will save you today. Let's bow our heads this morning.